You're listening to a podcast of the Annie and Ando Show.
Up early, Annie and Ando here, and we've been talking about
time,
whether you're running late or early or on time most of the time. And this happened last week. I was in a meeting with, it was very important. There were like 14 people. We were coming to some important decisions. And an hour and 55 minutes into a two-hour meeting, a woman rocks up and has vastly different opinions to everything that we'd already decided on. We'd spent a lot of time deliberating, and we were like, oh, so goodness, we're ready to leave, can't wait to go eat some dinner.
You're wrapping the...
wrapping. And she rocks up and is drying her hair.
So she, not only is she an hour 45 late...
55.
Hour 55 late. She's also got wet hair. Maybe she got caught in a shower.
Yeah.
Like a rain shower, not a bathroom shower.
You could see the light was blasting through her window like sunshine.
Okay. So she, even knowing she's late, then goes, oh, I'll have a shower first. Some people are like that when it comes to time. Like their value on... it being respectful of others, they just don't have.
Yeah. At that point, why even show up? I think it's more embarrassing to come in.
Was she getting
late.
Paid?
This was a voluntary exercise.
I wouldn't be voluntarily paying her either.
But, like, would you ever rock up, like, with a coffee in hand and be late?
Late? God, no, no. Well, then you're just saying, hey, everyone, you don't matter. My coffee's more important than you. That drives me insane. How rude.
Yeah. Do you say something, though? If someone just tries to sneak in, would you go, I see you?
It depends on my position of power in the meeting.
If you're on equal level with that
person. If I'm the boss, I'd probably say something like, Gary, have you got coffee for everyone else?
Oh, you're one of those.
Gary.
You're like a teacher in the room.
Gary, we're all here on time. You appear to have a coffee. And that's when he turns around and says it's his methadone or something. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Gary, I didn't realise. Like,
And you want to say it to the rest of the class? It was one of those phrases.
Yes. Tell everyone why. No, I am one of those. I am normally on time or early.
Yeah.
Very rarely run late.
What's early to you? Like ridiculously early or just
like,
on?
If you and I were meeting at 11 a.m. via Zoom, I would be on there at least 2 minutes before, ready to manage the waiting room to let you in.
Yeah.
If it was face-to-face, like pre-COVID, I catch a heap of public transport, so I normally have one spare train.
Down with the people. He takes public transport. What a hero.
So rude. I'm not even going to finish. We're talking this morning about time, the whole concept of time. And Annie Lou, I was saying before that I do catch public transport. And I like to have, when pre-lockdown, I like to have a spare train up my sleeve.
You can fit a whole train up there, can you?
Well, and some. No, what I mean, like if I needed to be somewhere at, let's say, lunchtime, in the city, lunchtime, and I see there's a train arriving, you know, 11:45, I would normally then go, what's the train before that? So that if one's cancelled or something happens, I've got a spare one.
Yeah, that's safe. That's really smart. I'm probably the opposite.
Catch the next one up. You can hear it till past 12.
I think I enjoy being busy to the point where I try to squeeze in too much. And a friend once told me about this concept called one last thing, or one last thing syndrome, where you're rushing out and you go, oh, I'm just going to do one last thing.
I'll just stack the dishwasher.
Yeah, or, oh, there's a letter in the mailbox. I'll just open and have a squeeze.
And now I need to take it inside.
Oh, look, there's a worm on the ground. Like, I'll just find any excuse to do one more thing. And you've probably noticed it because you've complained during the show. Sometimes I'll go to the toilet or, oh, there'll be a minute to go. I'm like, might go do a number two.
Hey! I don't think I complain. Maybe provide feedback in a blunt way or make observations, let's call it that. But, yeah, there is. There's this phenomenon with you that, and it's not even 1 minute. Sometimes it'll be, I look and there's 32 seconds before we come out of a song and you just get up and I wander. I'm like, what's she doing? Maybe she's stretching. No sign. And there are times when you've been in the bathroom here at Joy and you've heard me come back on air and come running back in.
I always thought I had more time than I really did. I'm like, well, that was a short song.
Hey, if you had a crooked tummy, I'd understand and go, you know, Ando, I just couldn't make it back. Things are not right in my tummy this morning. But it's not that.
Should have been more creative with my excuse options.
I like this. Well, I don't like this thing of this one more thing syndrome. It is such a common. I've got a mate that it drives his husband crazy because his husband's one of those really, really, really organised people that if they've got to be somewhere at 2 p.m, he will have pressed the shirts and got the clothes out by 9:30, 10 in the morning.
I need someone like that in my life.
But my mate, you can see the more the other one wants to be organised and tries to organise him, the more it causes the one more thing syndrome.
Oh, as a way of rebellion.
And it's not, I don't think it's a conscious thing. I don't think he gets the lawnmower out just to annoy his husband as they've got 20 minutes before they should be leaving. But he'll go, I just thought I'd get the lawnmower out. And all of a sudden the husband's standing there tapping his foot. You can see his butt clenched tight as he's standing there going, seriously, you're going to start mowing now? We've got 20, now it's 19 minutes. How are you going to have a shower in time? And he's got this whole schedule in his life.
Yeah. But then do you trick people to make them run on time?
Oh.
Is that one strategy? Because I definitely know, I think I've been guilty of lying to friends, especially ones who run late, and say that, hey, the dinner booking's at X, when really it's half an hour later.
Do they ever actually come early and then...
Never.
Never. So
it's that's how I know. And I call them sometimes flaky friends. They'll do that. They will not commit, or they'll say they're coming and then... He'll, like, you know, 5 minutes beforehand, they haven't even left the house. I'm like, yeah, I knew it. That's why I'm still in my PJs. And I feel like I've won. I predicted it.
I've got one side of my family I have to do the opposite to. They are renowned. You know when you're having a function or a nice big dinner party and you kind of, let's say it's 7 p.m, they'll turn up 6:30 every freaking time and they stand around the kitchen. And you know that last half hour, that's lighting candles, making sure the light levels are right, room spritzing, you know, warming your chafing dishes, getting everything like coordinated as you've already had a shower and you just throw your shirt on as the doorbell rings. No, they turn up half hour early. So I have to lie and tell them. I say, oh, no, don't come till 7:30, but I tell everyone else 7.
That is bonkers. I've never heard it go the opposite way.
It is. And it's, I won't name the side of the family, but they are renowned. And it's carried through to someone in my home, just quietly, who also likes to be very early.
Yeah. Even earlier than you, which says a lot.
Yeah. Makes me look less early.
Yeah. Where are the lit candles and air spritzing here? Where's my royal treatment?
That smell you can smell is the alcohol wipes that the studio has been drenched in. I feel a little bit dizzy after all that alcohol wipes. Max has slid into our DMs on Instagram, Annie and Ando. We're asking today, what's the best tip you got from your parents about cooking?
What's Max's parents' tip?
Max says his mother always told him to soak potatoes the night before. What? I agree. Max, you're so right.
Why?
Gets the starch out of them.
Is starch bad?
Yeah, starch is kind of what makes, like in mash potato, it makes it claggy and can be overworked really quickly. But yeah, if you cut up your potatoes, even baked, and soak them in water,
I was going to do
water.
Potatoes tonight. That'll be a tomorrow night thing then.
Yeah, if I do special baked potatoes, it's 2 days prep.
Wow. For your basic potato.
Peel and chop, soak them in water, covered in the fridge for a day, then parboil them.
What's parboil mean?
So boil them not till completely cooked, so par cooking, like part of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Then drain them, cool them, put them on a plate uncovered in the refrigerator for another day. That is a really magical trick for a few things, actually, in the fridge.
My mind.
Your mind what? Because the refrigerator, when stuff's uncovered, dry stuff out. And sometimes you want... So these potatoes that have been...
Oh, that sound effect really has a ripple to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And other neighbourhoods out there. Sorry, out in Epping, you might have heard that.
Hey, I'm trying to be serious about drying out potatoes. Anyway, you parboiled your potatoes, you put them in the fridge uncovered for a day. It dries the edge of the potato out to a couple of mil, and that's actually what will absorb some of your fat that will make it crunchy.
Ooh.
Pork but crackling,
some
another
things
thing.
You don't want crunchy with potatoes, though. Like a mash, you want it to be soft and fluffy.
No. Yeah, this is only for baked.
Okay, gotcha.
For mash, still soak in water for a day.
Overnight. Okay, I'll do that.
And cut it into mash, do it in small pieces, so more surface area, more contact with the water.
Not slices, you can do pieces.
For mash?
Yeah. Any shape?
Just small cubes.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
That's good.
The smaller the cube, the faster the cook.
Did you get a tip from your parents growing up about cooking?
My mum was a weekend cooker because she worked full time. And she was known, I think I've said this on air before, she was known for her pavlovas.
Special pav.
Mama Ando. And when she made pavs, her trick was to wedge a coffee mug in the door of the oven so that the door, once the pav finished cooking, the door would be ajar. Well, a mug, actually.
Oh, God.
And we would hold, like, she would evacuate the house because there was not allowed to be any loud noises or disturbances, so the pav could slowly cool undisturbed so that it never collapsed.
So you're tiptoeing around looking
outside.
Out
we were banning. Go for a ride. Don't come back for three hours.
Don't scare the pav. Hey, I have a question because you have cows. Is it true that if you scare a cow, their milk goes sour?
I've never heard that before in my life.
Huh. You've never scared a cow.
I know that, like, yeah. No, I've never heard that before.
If you shake a cow, do you get a milkshake? Now I'm just being silly.
Well, cows don't lactate all the time, Annie.
I only realised... that's true. I didn't know that not all cows are called cows. The male one is called a bull.
And what's it called if he's had his testicles removed?
It's no longer a bull.
A steer.
Oh, yeah. We've got another text in as we're sitting here with our tops, our Australia sporting tops on.
Yeah.
The text says, OMG, very funny today. Question, was it the human centipede thing or was it, talking about a greyhound with a monkey riding on its back? Because I laughed through a very serious advertisement still thinking about that earlier.
The humans, I was thinking down ball, adult down ball. Sometimes, you know those team building activities, thinking of sports, your boss goes, come on everyone, tunnel ball. Let's do a warm-up activity to get to know you and suddenly your face is in someone's bum. Boom.
Taught you a lot about life.
I always linger and make sure I go behind someone I want to be behind.
Best way to get to know someone. You've just reminded me though, when you said down ball, that's that game with the squares. Right? Yes.
Oh, I thought that was hopscotch.
No. The one where you bounce a ball through the squares and in primary school, the teachers would have to...
Oh, yeah, like a tennis court.
Yeah, get us to stop. They'd have to tear us away. The bell would ring or it'd be torrential rain and we'd still be like, no, we want to play down
ball.
It's
like tennis with a tennis ball without a racket.
Mm.
Yes, with your hand.
Yes, and talking about those weird made-up kind of sports that get kids involved. You know bat tennis? Did you ever play that? Not real tennis. It was like a block of wood with a handle on it.
No, never heard of it.
And with slightly smaller squares so that you could play it inside the school ground.
Do you like ping pong?
Why did you call it ping pong when you looked at me? Can't you call it table tennis?
Oh, table tennis. Sorry. No, is that a country thing? Like,
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Like, Ling Ling, do you like ping pong? No.
You can't say Ling Ling.
We're celebrating the Bogan today for no reason other than we wanted to.
Because I have so much content, perhaps?
Probably. Well, you always fascinate me with your stories and I think the castle when I think iconic Bogan movies.
Bogan movies, as in, like, depicting beautiful Bogans.
I can't think of any others, to be honest.
I don't find the castle funny at all. Some people go, I love the castle. I don't get it. Do not understand.
Was it like watching a documentary for
you? Yes. So here goes. You know how they had the greyhounds?
Yeah.
Coco.
Mm.
And Son of Coco. Well, we had greyhounds growing up. My father. And my sister, you know, my name's Andrew. My sister's name is Melissa. My father, not Coco and Son of Coco, decided to combine his daughter and his son's names and created Melandy. Mel and Andy.
It's quite beautiful.
So we had Melandy Magic, Melandy Pride, Melandy Prince, Black Melandy, I think, it was a black dog. I think that's kind of racist now. Reflect on it.
And they were all racing hounds?
Yeah, racing hounds.
Hounds. Release
Drive
the hounds.
Drive all over the country racing those dogs. So the greyhounds I didn't get. My sister used to read the Trading Post. Mum would go, oh, look what I've made, and it'd be apricot chicken rather than rissoles. And Dad would, after the castle came out, Dad would actually go, what do you call this, dolls? Rissoles.
Rissoles. That is amazing.
Yeah, so I don't find it funny.
What kind of things would your dad get up to that was particularly Bogan?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I see it. I never thought of it as Bogan, but Dad and I would work on the cars all weekend, most weekends, or we'd be off racing the greyhounds.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a good room, so when we won, you get a photo with your dog at the winning post.
That's amazing. It's like holding a big fish.
Yes, but we weren't allowed to put them up in the house. They had to go outside in the garage because Mum wouldn't let us have them up.
Mm. And what do you think about people who are against the hound racing now?
I think one of the things, and I don't want to sort of fall down that rabbit hole, but it's...
Rabbit hole.
It is what you do with the dogs, I think, Annie. My dad struggled. He never gave them away, never got rid of them, and we ended up just with pet greyhounds.
Everywhere,
because they are beautiful temperament. And you know when a dog's excited. You can tell when a dog wags its tail and gets excited and is happy to see you. The behaviour of the dog, they knew it was race day. The excitement that they would get going to the track, it was kind of like, it's like a lot of athletes that go, here I go, I'm ready with my javelin pole.
Oh.
I did think for such a smart dog, the fact that it's just this teddy bear on a stick going around a track. I
couldn't figure it out. It does fascinate me, the names in particular. So your dad has clearly made up names before. What's the secret to making a greyhound name? And can I get one?
Well, it can't be. It's like racehorses. It can't be something already used.
Yeah.
You have to not. There's all this paperwork, and you have to nominate it out. And you look at often the family tree. My father also has the encyclopedia collection of every bloodline. Every bloodline of greyhound in the whole wide world. It's bizarre. Anyway, and so he would do the family tree, and you go, "Oh, you're looking at our ancestry, Dad." You go, "Nah. Getting a new dog." I go, "All right, Dad."
You know how there's a formula for, like, you know, your porn star name? If you were to make a greyhound name, yeah, how would I even start thinking?
If Annie Louie was a greyhound?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. What's your mum's first name?
Jan.
And your papa?
David.
Are they their Aussie names?
David. No, Jan was her...
Jan,
she's got... Her full name's Jan Sian, and my dad went by David his whole life, but his birth name is Gung Wu, which relates, it's translated to reflective lake. So they're very deep and meaningful.
Oh, so you could go something like combine a bit of both. Gung Jun Chu. A bit of chewy. Gung Jun Chu.
Actually, that sounds like a fast dog, doesn't it?
And Gung Jun Chu is coming around the bend, overtaken by Ando. It's Ando all the way. Ando,
Dog can't be named Ando if you formulas.
I know, but I couldn't think of anything quick enough, and I wanted to do the rival. I'd love to be a race caller, but that's a whole nother thing. Any excuse to be on microphone.
I like putting magic at the end of it. Ando magic.
Ando magic. It sounds like a stain magic remover.
About memory today, and Ando thinks this is fading out.
Like, not really bad, but there's just moments where I go, "Oh, is that okay? Is that age related for a dude in his late 30s to be forgetting things?"
But I don't think I have an excuse. Why has mine gone bad? It's always been bad
for a gal in her late 20s. Yeah,
and I think it's because of phone usage. I'm so distracted. I don't think I can go a few minutes without going, "Oh, a notification's popped up." I don't even know what I was browsing for to begin with. Distractions within the phone, and then mix that in with real life, people trying to talk to you constantly.
I'm a shocker for remembering people's birthdays. And
I just remembered in the middle of the night, I woke up and I forgot to wish someone a happy birthday on the day yesterday. I was even thinking around dinner time, I'll ring them to make it personalised. Now I've missed the boat.
No, you know what I do when I miss it and I remember the next day?
What happens?
Know how popular you are. You would have been flooded with messages, thought I'd give you some free airtime, but today is my day to wish you all
the best. Great. I love it. I'm just going to take a recording of that and just play it.
Today is the day where hopefully there's some space for me to get my message through. Hope you're doing fab. Love you lots, Annie.
Thank you. I need a script writer for that.
Yeah, I got a lovely response when, like, I've used that a couple of times.
Now you've told everyone the secret. They're going to know, everyone who's listening.
So if I had
a
mate
template.
1 year, about 3 years ago, decided to turn off his birthday notification on his Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So none of us got the notification.
It's a good test.
Oh, I rely on those.
Yeah,
and you can tell if people have relied on it because you suddenly get all of them, even if they text or slide into a different app, they're all hit around 9 a.m. or whatever time those notifications kick in.
No one writes on the wall anymore.
Oh, that's what I do. So, what am I supposed to do, not write on the wall?
People are direct messaging now or sending a text. They'll get the info from there, but I think I received hardly any anymore. Like, people want to make
Didn't
it even
I use
more
a nice background and a big font?
No. I had mine switched off this year, though. Fair enough. Phone numbers, I can't remember them anymore at all.
Phone numbers are really hard to remember. Like, pre-mobile, you would just know your phone numbers.
You would. You'd have to. Otherwise, your SIM card could only store, what, 20 contacts?
But even before mobile phones, yeah. Annie, like at the, you would have a little, maybe a little bit of paper in your wallet that had important contact numbers.
What do they call
numbers.
Those? The cards.
Oh, was there a special card?
Oh, like those in case of an emergency.
Oh, like a little Rolodex.
Yeah. I've never said the word.
I've got Rolodex. A business card Rolodex that I'll take a photo of when I get home and show you. And it's got all the business cards over my career that I've collected and it's alphabetized and you spin the thing and it goes flip, 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 flip.
Or there's pocket ones where it's like an accordion, right? Piece of paper yes. that just had all the phone numbers. My dad had one of those. And you'd have to make sure it didn't get wet or you'd lose all your contacts.
Yeah, there's a nostalgic element of ways of remembering things. Like when my mother went into a nursing home, she had this massive box of all the recipes that she'd collected and that she'd taken from her mother.
Mm.
And I made a nice box and put them in. And about once a year I'll notice it and I'll go through the box and go, oh, remember, God, that's got a lot of sugar in it. Did Mum used to make that? But there's something nostalgic and beautiful about those bits of paper and the pages out of Women's Weeklies and cookbooks, which when I'm cooking I tend to use my iPad sitting on the bench with greasy fingerprints all over it.
I don't think books will ever go out of fashion. Because of that element, people want to hold and smell a book.
Smell something.
This was a podcast from the Annie and Ando Show, only on Joy 94.9.